name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Today we hear from a parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the foundational teachings of Christianity. It's something, as I say so many times, it's simple. It's easy for us to understand, but it is difficult for us, so often for us, to put into practice. And also, I think there's a certain extent where, even though the message is simple, we get distracted by our own selfishness, we get distracted by the ways of this world, and so we often forget about the authentic teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we start to preach another gospel, we start to think other things, and that's why we come here each week to again be corrected and reminded of our Lord's teaching. What we heard today in the parable is quite simple, and perhaps people would not fully understand it because it's using money that was in existence at the time of Jesus rather than the currency that we use today. But in essence, what Jesus was saying is that there was a Lord, there was a Master who obviously represents God in this parable. And there was this servant who represents us. And this servant owed a great sum of money to his master. We'll say millions of dollars in today's language. And the master said, you know, I'm going to be merciful to him. And so he comes and he says, let's write it off. Let's start from scratch. I'm not going to hold this debt against you any longer. And so this person is then freed. And he goes out and he finds someone who owed him $200. And he gets upset with him. And he tells him, you better pay me now or I'm going to put you in jail. I'm going to abuse your family. Somehow or another, I'm going to get this $200 out of you. That's what our Lord was saying in today's parable. And so obviously the teaching is quite clear. We hear it throughout our Lord Jesus' teaching in the Gospels. In essence, what Jesus is telling us is that because God forgave us, because He offers us forgiveness, we therefore must forgive others. And if we choose not to, then He will again hold against us those sins that we have committed. He will hold against us that debt that we owe others. Again, it's very simple to understand. You can explain it to your children. I have experience with this with my four kids. You know, I saw you, young man, and you came and you had your backpack and you're screwing around and not paying any attention and you scratched my car all along the side. You know, some examples are real. We have and I was upset. You knew I was upset. And yet I forgave you. I calmed down. I overlooked it. I still treat you the same. I didn't make you pay me back and withhold any sort of an allowance that you would have. And now, one of your siblings ruined a toy that you liked. Don't you think that maybe because I forgave you, that you could forgive them? Maybe that's the way that we should work in our family, instead of holding it against them and being upset with them and trying to hurt back. Doesn't that seem like a better idea? Because, you know, if you're going to keep carrying on about this, I could always start withholding your allowance until you pay off the scratch that you put in my car. And of course, the children understand. Now, I'm not saying that they accept. Okay? I'm not saying that then they immediately decide to forgive. Just like we often don't do that as adults. But they understand the point, and now the ball is in their court. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, that's what we don't like about the gospel, is that the onus, the burden is on us. It's not on the others. It's on us. Only because God was good to us. And He has put us in this bind where we, in our pride, in our ego, want to continue to hold sins that others have committed against us, against them. Where we want them to come back groveling and bowing at our feet and asking forgiveness. And it's wonderful if people do that. Not because of our ego, but because of being able to have mutual reconciliation. And hopefully we do that when we sin against others. But when it comes to others having sinned against us, we forgive them only because God forgave us first. And it is thus bound us to forgive them. We like to be cheap with our Christianity in this society, brothers and sisters. I told my wife and my kids the other day, we were spending time together before my daughter left for college. I wanted to impart unto her my wisdom, you know. And I said, you know, I'm getting tired of seeing these shirts. Jesus loves you. All of these things that make you feel good. I said, I'm going to start a line of clothing and I'm going to put my own sayings on it. It'd be a non-profit. Jesus loves your enemy. Why don't you wear that around instead? Jesus loves your political opponent. That's what we need to tell people, the message of Jesus. Yes, Jesus loves you, but only as much as He loves your enemy and your opponent and your neighbor. We like to shorten the gospel. We like to say that God forgives us. Period. But that's not what the gospel teaches us. The gospel teaches us that God forgives us, and therefore we must forgive others. Or as we will say soon, brothers and sisters, in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that He gave us and He told us, this is the prayer that you need, repeated every day, a couple of times a day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses, as the most authentic translation says, as we are forgiving those who trespass against us. In other words, don't be cheap and don't come to God and say, forgive me, and not be forgiving those who trespass against you. Forgive us our trespasses, we say to God, as we are forgiving those who trespass against us. And if we don't do it this way, we heard what happens at the end, that our trespasses will not be forgiven. So brothers and sisters, it's easy for us to understand. I know that it's sometimes difficult for us to put into practice, but we have to realize the full teaching of the gospel. That God loves us and He forgives us in as much as He also loves our neighbor and forgives our neighbor, and in as much as we also love and forgive our neighbor. To that God, the God of mercy and compassion, be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens. Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them. Lord.